Yes.
That's okay. You know, a couple of days ago, I had a birthday, and normally I wouldn't mention that. Except last Sunday, I was in between meetings. I was in the office line, minding my own business now. And a couple of women came up to me.
Earl, we heard you're going to have a birthday this week.
I said, oh, man, they already know.
Are you going to let us know how old you are?
I'm thinking to myself, I didn't say it, I was thinking, you are these women, and why are they asking me that question, you know?
But I told them that, I told these dear ladies that, we meant offensive about our age, and I didn't tell them. If you want to know, you can talk to Gail Ann Chase. She knows exactly how old I am. She'd be glad to tell you. As a matter of fact, she'll probably tell the whole city of Durham before the day's out, but I'm picking on Gail this morning. But it's good to see you. It's good to see you come out this morning. I would think this morning what we would do would be study a theme in the Word of God in Scripture, and that is forgiveness. If I had to give a title to today's message, I would entitle it, Forgiveness is a Wonderful Thing. And this morning we're going to look at how God has forgiven us, the vertical relationship God to man. And tonight we'll look at forgiveness from a different point of view, from a horizontal relationship with each other, how we should forgive one another. And that's going to be interesting too. But this morning we're going to look at the theme of how God has forgiven our sins. And first we want to look in our Bible to Jeremiah chapter 31. If you turn there, first of all, Jeremiah chapter 31. We'll look at one verse there. It's an interesting verse. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now the context for this verse, in verse 34 of chapter Jeremiah 31, is the fact that Judah, the land of Judah, is going to be restored someday, at a future date, when the Messiah himself will reign on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 34 is a reference to that time when the people of the world will know, all the people of the world will know the Lord. And we notice in verse 34, at the end of that verse, we see, For I will remember their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. That word forgive is interesting there, the original Hebrew word. It means to send away or let go. To send away or let go. If you want to put it this way, God has sent away our sins. And of course, you may, the question comes up in our minds, well, if God has sent away our sins, where has he sent them to? You know, have you ever thought of that? That was one of the things that popped into my mind when I saw this word. But it's interesting that the prophet Micah says that God has sent all our sins into the depth of the sea. Sent all our sins into the depths of the sea. The psalmist in Psalm 103 said that God will cast away our sins as far as the east is from the west. God has sent out our sins as far as the east is from the west. But we also see in that word forgive that it means to let go. You know, if I'm angry with you for a time, hopefully at some point in time that I'm going to let go of that anger, that I won't hold on to the anger against you if I get mad at you. And in a similar way, God, when he forgives our sins, he lets them go. He no longer holds on to our sins. If you're sitting here this morning and you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has sent away your sins. He has let your sins go. He has completely forgiven your sins. And that's a wonderful standing to be in, isn't it, brother, sister, and Christ? To be forgiven by God, to be pardoned by God, the fact that God has forgiven all our sins. And if we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, God has let go of our sins. He has sent away our sins. to the depths of the sea, to the depths of the ocean. There's also an interesting thing in verse 34 at the very end. It says, the Lord says, and I will remember their sin no more. I will remember their sin no more. In other words, God will never bring back up to his mind our sin ever again. Never. You know, for us, memory is a strange thing. We remember all sorts of stuff. And we forget all sorts of stuff. At least I do. And I know you do. And, because you told me you had forgotten stuff. But, you know, memories, sometimes we do remember the hurts, the offenses, the sin that people commit against us. We remember those things sometimes. And, but you know, God will remember our sins no more. It reminds me of a little boy who, his mother told him to do something, and he didn't do it. He came back to his mom, he said, Mommy, I forgot to remember. You know. And maybe you've done that. Maybe you've forgotten to remember sometimes. I have. But you know, as far as God is concerned, in the mind of God, he does not remember our sins. All those sins that you've committed in your life and will commit in the future, as far as being saved is concerned, God will never ever remember those sins. Never. That's a hard concept for us to understand. Because as human beings, we have a memory. We remember things. It's hard for us to forget things, but as far as God is concerned, he will remember our sins no more. He has forgiven our sins. He has sent them away. He has let them go. What a wonderful standing is to be in Christ. If you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, that's where you stand, brother, sister, in Christ. God has forgiven our sins, and he will remember them no more. There's also a passage in the New Testament that we'll turn back to, Luke chapter 7. If you turn to Luke chapter 7, we're going to look at the theme of Jesus has authority and power to forgive sins. And we will start reading in verse 44 in just a minute. This passage starts off in verse 36 as Simon the Pharisee invites the Lord Jesus to a meal. Dinner one day, and while the Lord was there, he and his friends, people in the neighborhood, his disciples were there at Simon's house eating. A woman came in who was a sinner in verse 37, and she saw the Lord Jesus there, and she had bought a box of ointment, and she took that box of ointment and anointed the Lord's feet, and she washed his feet with tears as she cried. She took her hair and wiped the ointment off his feet. And verse 39, Simon the Pharisee saw this woman. In verse 39, he said, you know, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And in verses 40 through 43, the Lord Jesus tells the parable of the two debtors, Simon. And in verse 44, we'll pick it up there. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace. You know, first of all, verses 44 and 45, we see that Simon insulted the Lord. You know, in the Eastern culture, when you were a guest at somebody's house, they would provide a basin of water for you because on the way to walking to their house, your feet could have become dirty or dusty, and a good host would always provide water to wash the guest's feet. Simon didn't provide water for the Lord Jesus. Typically, in the Eastern culture, when you came into the house, the host would give you a kiss. That was a form of the customary greeting. Simon gave the Lord Jesus no greeting, no kiss when he came into Simon's house. And in contrast, this woman, and we have to remember who this woman was. She was a sinner. She was a prostitute. She was a harlot. And she had continually kissed the feet of the Lord Jesus and anointed Jesus' feet with fragrant oil. And this woman recognized the Lord Jesus for who he was, the Messiah of Israel, the one that provides forgiveness for her soul. Forgiveness for her poor soul. This woman recognized who the Lord Jesus was. And this woman realized that she was a poor, needy sinner in need of forgiveness. This woman realized there was only one person there who could forgive our sins, and that was the man who was sitting at the table, the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a poor and needy sinner, just like you and me. We are all poor, needy sinners in need of forgiveness. It reminds me of that epitaph I read, of the epitaph on the tombstone. Somebody, I think I read where it was on John Newton's tombstone. I'm not really sure. But the epitaph reads, "I am a great sinner, but Christ is a great Savior." Isn't that true, brother, sister, and Christ? Aren't we all great sinners? But isn't it true that Jesus Christ is a great Savior? Isn't that true? Isn't that a fact from the Word of God that we can depend on? And this woman, as poor and needy as she was, a sinner, an outcast, people who looked down on her, realized that she was a prostitute. Now, in contrast to this woman's need, Simon the Pharisee is interesting about him because he considered himself to be morally superior to this woman. He certainly didn't consider himself to be a sinner. Simon was a very self-righteous type of man. And this woman, in contrast to Simon, realized her need. She realized that she needed a Savior. She realized that she needed someone to forgive our sins. Simon didn't realize that. Simon didn't even care about the fact that he was a sinner before a righteous, holy God. And that was the Son of God right there in his presence. And he didn't acknowledge him or even greet him as he should have. He insulted the Lord Jesus. What a contrast this woman's attitude is. That she was a repentant sinner coming and asking the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness. And we see here in this passage that the Lord Jesus certainly has the power and the authority to forgive sins. I want to ask you a question this morning. Has the Lord Jesus, has he forgiven your sins this morning? If you were to stand before God and you would look up in God's face, could you tell God, "Thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sins"? Could you tell him that this morning from your heart and mean it? This poor woman could, because she knew her sins were forgiven. The Lord said in verse 48, "Thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven." In verse 47, he said, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, many sins, they're all forgiven." They're all forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To know that you're forgiven of all your sins, that God has granted you a total and complete pardon for your sins. And the verse 49, you see the reaction of the people. They said that in verse 49, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" You know, the people here sitting around with the Lord Jesus were amazed at the fact that he looked at this woman and said, "Thy sins are forgiven." And in verse 50, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Go in peace. This woman knew that Jesus Christ had the power and the authority to forgive her sins. This woman knew that God had forgiven all her sins. Her sins, which were many, were forgiven totally and completely by the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful that is. And let's look at another passage in the Gospel of Mark. Let's turn back to Mark chapter 2. Another incident in the Lord's life. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of a palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easy to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. This passage right here is interesting because Jesus was in the city of Capernaum. He was ministering and preaching the word of God to the people. Came to a house, and a large crowd had gathered around this house, the door of the house. And the Lord was there ministering to the people, to the crowd. And there came a man who was sick of a palsy. Now, what that means is that this man was a paralytic. He was paralyzed. He was laying on a pallet or a bed. He had to be carried to the house by four men. But they couldn't get into the door. They wanted to take this man to see the Lord Jesus, but they couldn't get in the front door because of the great mass of people there. So what they did, they took the man up to the roof. They tore apart the roof and let him down into the house in that opening of the roof. And in verse 5, it says, Jesus saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith. You know, these men and this paralytic on that bed had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what did they have faith in, do you think? I believe they had faith in two areas. They had faith that that the Lord Jesus could heal this paralytic. That's number one. And secondly, they had faith that the Lord Jesus Christ had the power and authority to forgive this man's sins. To forgive their sins. And in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. The Lord, this man and his helpers believed that the Lord Jesus Christ could heal this man and forgive his sins, and the Lord Jesus Christ did exactly that. He said, Thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes were sitting around there in verse 6, and they were thinking to themselves, who can forgive sins but God only? This man is blaspheming God. After all, God's the only one who can forgive sins. And you know, they were right. They were correct. There's only one person that can forgive our sins, and that's God himself. But you have to understand that right in their very presence was God manifested in the flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who Jesus Christ was. He was God in the flesh. They were looking at and hearing and talking to God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the power and the authority to forgive sins. The Lord Jesus wasn't blaspheming anyone. He was God. And the people, or the scribes, unfortunately, didn't realize that. And Jesus told them in verse 9 or verse 8, Why reason ye these things in your hearts, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk. And the Lord Jesus validated the fact that he had the power to forgive sins by healing this paralyzed man. And the Lord was concerned about the man's physical condition. There's no doubt about that. Because he was paralyzed. He couldn't move. He couldn't get up and walk. He couldn't do anything for himself. People had to bathe him and clothe him and feed him if he was that severely paralyzed. paralyzed. We're not totally sure about that. But the Lord Jesus was concerned about the man's physical condition, but there's something else this man needed more than healing. He needed for God to forgive his sins. He needed for the Lord. This man needed the Lord Jesus Christ to come to him and say, "My son, my sins are forgiven thee." And that's exactly what the Lord did. He said, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Your sins are all gone now. They're pardoned. They're forgiven." And we see that in verse 11, that the Lord Jesus says, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house." And let's keep in mind, you know, let's repeat what we just said about this man. This man couldn't move. You know, he was stuck there on that bed. He had to have people pick him up and put him in his bed at home. He had to have people pick him up out of the bed, put him on that little pallet, and carry him to that house because he couldn't walk. And if he was so severely paralyzed, he probably couldn't clothe himself. He couldn't feed himself. He had to have other people to do that. This man was totally and completely helpless. He was a total invalid. But verse 11, the Lord Jesus says, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house." And immediately he arose, he took up the bed, and he went forth before them all. This man, when the Lord Jesus said, "Arise," this man took up, he got out of the pallet, he took up his bed, picked it up, and he started walking around. And if you can imagine such a thing. And the people, it says there in verse 12, that they were amazed. They were amazed. I would be amazed too, wouldn't you? Here's a man who's totally, completely helpless, couldn't move, totally paralyzed, and all of a sudden he's picking up his bed, he's walking around. The people were absolutely amazed at that. They couldn't believe it. Look at this. Is it real? Is this man really walking around? Is this not some sort of a show trick here? But you know, when the Lord Jesus brings healing to people, he does it totally and completely. Totally. If you read the word, if you read the gospel account of every healing that the Lord Jesus did, he did it totally, completely, 100%. And this man was totally, completely healed. Absolutely healed. And he was walking around carrying his bed with him. And we see that the reaction of the people when they saw that miracle was, we never saw it on this fashion. Now that phrase can be rendered, "We have never seen anything like this." That's what that means, literally. We have never seen anything like this. And they probably haven't in the city of Capernaum up to that point. They've never seen a man come in and heal a man who was totally and completely paralyzed. Here he is picking up his bed and walk. But you know, the most important, brother, sister in Christ, the most important thing in this passage to remember is that the Lord Jesus Christ has the power and authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus says in verse, Jesus himself said in verse 10, "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power." The word power can be rendered authority. The Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. And you know, we have to be honest about this. You know, if you're looking for someone to forgive your sins, someone other than Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, if you think Buddha can forgive your sins, or if you think Allah can forgive your sins, or you think the Pope can forgive your sins, or you think anybody else or anything else can forgive your sins, you're mistaken. There's only one person who could forgive sins, and there he is in, on the pages of Scripture in verse 10, that he has the power or the authority on earth to forgive sins, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, the Lord Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." No one, no man, no woman, no child can have their sins forgiven unless they go through Jesus Christ. He is the only one. He is the only person in this world, in this universe, who has the power and authority to forgive sins. And folks, let me ask you something. Has God forgiven your sins this morning? Can you honestly say that from your heart? "God has forgiven my sins. I know that he has pardoned me. I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. Can you say that this morning? If you have problems with that, if you say in your heart, well, you know, I'm not really sure if God has forgiven my sins. I'm not totally certain whether if I die, I'm going to heaven this morning. But my friend, you need to make certain today. You need to come to the one who has power and authority on earth to forgive sins, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to talk to him and ask him to forgive your sins. You don't have to ask a human being, or you don't have to ask somebody who's lived thousands of years ago to forgive your sins. You have to come to Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive your sins. Have you done that this morning? Think about that. And the people, there are three things I think you see in this passage. Number one, this man was healed. He had his sins forgiven, and God was glorified. God was glorified. Verse 12, it says they were all amazed and glorified God. We've never seen anything like this. They were thinking, praise the Lord and hallelujah. This man is walking around and carrying his bed with him. I've never seen him. Now, we don't know how long this man was paralyzed, perhaps his whole life, or maybe not. But people were saying that they've never seen anything like this. They've never seen a man who was totally and completely paralyzed pick up his bed and walk. But we also have to remember when the Lord Jesus said, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Let's remember that about this paralyzed. This former paralyzed man. And we have the assurance of knowing that this man is in heaven with the Lord right now. That you and I, who are believers, you and I who trusted Christ as our Savior, we're going to see this man someday in heaven. We'll get to talk to him. That'll be an interesting conversation, don't you think? You know, listen, what was it like when you were in Capernaum and the Lord Jesus came there and you were paralyzed and what was it like? You know? We get to ask this man that. But let's take away the main thrust of this passage is that Jesus Christ has the power and authority on earth to forgive sin. And he is the only one who has the power and authority on earth to forgive sin. And that should make us think. That should make us consider where we are in our relationship with God, if we have a relationship with God. I hope you do this morning have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he has the power to forgive your sins, and my sins. There's one more passage. Let's look at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Verse 33, a familiar passage. Luke 23, verse 33. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. That verse in 34 is a verse that we all know. We're all familiar with that verse. But I'd like to take you back maybe just a little bit into the events leading up to verse 33, or verse 34. And the Lord Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was falsely charged. He had trumped up charges against him. He was taken under the authority of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. He was scourged, that is, Roman soldiers took a whip, which had pieces of metal and bone at the end of the whip, and he was beaten, his back was laid bare with this whip. The Lord Jesus Christ was slapped in the face. He was spat upon. He had his beard plucked out. He had a crown of thorns, of thorns that were made, pushed down on top of his head until he was bleeding and blood was streaming down face into his eyes and nose and mouth. And then after that, he was forced to carry his own cross up the hill of Calvary. And after that, he was laid on this cross. Roman soldiers took spikes and a hammer, and they pounded those spikes into his hands and feet. And that cross was raised up right there. But while he was on the cross, the Lord Jesus said a number of things. And Luke 23:34 is just one of the things he said. But, you know, if you think about this, think about the fact that, you know, there was no anger. There was no resentment. There were no threats to get even coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. My friend, this morning, the Lord Jesus would tell you that. He would say, I want to forgive you. I want to forgive your sins. And when he was on the cross, all those people who ridiculed him, who made fun of him, who mocked him, they put a purple robe on him, and the Roman soldiers fell down in mock worship. Such blasphemy. Such ridicule of the Son of God. Yet he was willing to forgive his tormentors. He was willing to forgive all the people who hurt him. That's all he had in his heart when he was on that cross of Calvary. All he had was forgiveness in his heart for the people who hated him and despised him. Now, I'm not accusing you of hating or despising the Lord Jesus. There are people in the world who do hate him and despise him. I was one of those people. But I know that the Lord Jesus showed me mercy. He showed me grace. He said, Father, forgive Earl White. And he will tell you the same thing this morning. He will say, Father, forgive, and put your name in there. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. The Lord Jesus Christ forgave the prostitute's sins. He forgave the paralytic's sins. Do you think he has the power and authority to forgive your sins this morning? Do you think that? Do you really believe that? If Jesus Christ can forgive all the sins of the people in this auditorium, if he can forgive the sins of millions of people all over the world, do you think he has the power and the authority to forgive your sins right now, this morning, in this auditorium? I believe he does, according to what the passage that we've read in the scripture this morning. Jesus Christ has the power and authority to forgive your sins. But the thing about it is, you've got to ask the Lord Jesus. You know, some people have a mistaken notion about Christ. Well, Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. That means I'm okay now, and, you know, I'm going to heaven. Well, no, that's not true. It's true that Christ died for the sins of the world, but you must appropriate that sacrifice for yourself. You must personally receive the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. You must believe that he died on the cross for your sins. And you know, you've heard that saying, believing that Christ died is history. Believing that Christ died for me, that's salvation. See, you must appropriate that sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus on the cross for yourself. You know, that's what he wants. And let me tell you something, too, about the Lord Jesus. He is not a reluctant Savior. He is waiting right now with open arms, eager and waiting to forgive you your sins. Right now. He'll do it right now. All you have to do is ask him. He is not somebody who would say, well, you know, Earl committed this sin in 1975, and, you know, I just can't forgive that sin. You know, I forgive all these other sins Earl committed, but not this one. You know, the Lord Jesus is not like that. When he grants you pardon and forgiveness, all your sins are gone. All of them. All of them. And I hope that this morning that you've made that decision in your own life to trust and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope you've done that. And if you have, well, that's praise the Lord for that. But if you're not sure, or you haven't quite made that decision yet to believe and trust Christ, I hope you would do that this morning. I hope you do that. The Lord Jesus, like I said, he is waiting with open arms right now, waiting to forgive you and accept you, to pardon you, because he loves you. That's why he was on the cross. That's why he went to the cross, because he loves you. And this morning, if you want to talk about that, if you want to talk to somebody about that, you want to talk to me or some of the other people here that you know, they'll be glad to talk to you about how Jesus Christ can forgive your sins and give you a new life. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you have the power and authority in the world to forgive sins. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you, through that same power and your grace and mercy, you've forgiven our sins, Lord. We thank you so much for that. We know, Lord, that you are a forgiving, compassionate Savior. We know, Father, that there's not one that you won't cast away. And we just praise you and thank you from our hearts for what you've done for us, how you've forgiven us. And we pray, Father, that if there's somebody here this morning who hasn't made that decision yet to receive you and trust you, we pray, Lord, that today might be that day that they make that choice. We commit all these things into your hands, thanking you and praising you for the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we pray in his holy and lovely name. Amen.
In your chorus books, number 94. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Described as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. He says that our sins and iniquity he will no longer remember. Buried in the deepest sea, yes, my sins are gone. Let's stand and sing this chorus and the service will be over.
Gone, 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 gone.